It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Get the sports up. Get Toucher and Rich. Download the Sports Hub app today.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. A few months ago, we explored what we knew was going to be fantastic before it even happened. Ray Lewis, he did his speech when he got into the Hall of Fame. He demanded to go last. He demanded a headset. That much we know because everyone else talked behind the podium.
And he said, "I want to go straight up, Bobby Brown, my prerogative video."
Yeah, and then he proceeded to make no sense. And
and delivered truly one of the most awe-inspiring, nonsensical speeches I've ever heard in my entire life.
Yeah, it made no sense, and we knew it wouldn't. But here
if you haven't heard any of it,
I got it. Here's Ray Lewis.
We're in the building, baby. Listen to me carefully. When God tells you something, believe him. 5:15:75. Remember 5 and remember 7, because they're going to have a recurring attitude in my message.
Now, just to let you know, they don't. At all.
Numbers. Like,
he never. Yeah, the only thing he just refers to 5:15:75 a bunch of times with no explanation. I mean, he really does.
Well, he says a recurring attitude.
Yeah.
I mean, they got a crude attitude.
5:15:75. Now pay attention to that, because that's going to be the next lottery winner.
5:15:75. Remember what they told you?
I bill for my lawyer.
5:15:75. Remember what they told you when I was little? Well, guess what, mama? We made it. Crazy, right? Tell you about numbers, 5:15:75, right? I played 17 years. I go to the University of Miami, right? And I signed one of the last scholarships ever given. Right? I didn't even have a scholarship. And the coach
Ever.
No scholarship since then.
The last scholarship's ever given. And then he goes, I didn't even have a scholarship. So I didn't.
It was a phony piece of paper. It was counterfeit scholarship. Okay. They were selling them on the black market.
Okay.
It just said, "Hey Ray, scholarship." It was on the back of a big boy's menu.
Okay.
And then I went to the school and I said, "Hey, what do I do?" And they said, "You're holding a big boy menu." And I said, "Yes. It's an iconic American image. Now let me in your school." Then I had to take a series of tests, which I passed with flying colors. Meaning that I colored. They said, "On the big boy menu, there is a word scramble." And I said, "I can find it. Fries, milk, apples, hot dog."
And he got all of them.
Well, let's not go crazy. Mm-hmm. I got a good 6 out of 10.
Okay.
Right, I didn't even have a scholarship. And the coach asked me, Randy Shannon asked me, "What was the number you wanted?" He said, "The last numbers we got is these numbers." And I looked and those numbers was 5 and 2. And I said, "Give me that 52. He said, "Why you like 52? I said, "Because, B-Dog, that's God's number. That's completion. I played 17 years. I leave 17 years. I go play in Super Bowl 47. I get inducted to go into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, Super Bowl 52. Man, God, something else. Numbers. You can play with numbers, but some numbers you can never change."
Okay, once again, just
throw the 3 out the window. That can be changed.
Carry the 2, remainder of 6.
From now on, 3 is a drawing of Snoopy.
All right. So that is one of the greatest speeches of all time.
Yes.
To that, we said we had to once again send Nick out to a place where who's really people who say things like Ray Lewis are welcome with open arms.
Yeah, Ray Lewis would fit right in.
He would fit right in. And that is at the city council meeting. So young Nick Jamelli, who, boy, gets so unbelievably nervous doing these things.
I don't blame him. I mean, you're up there and you're talking this incredible nonsense.
Right. So we wanted to see if Nick, at the city council meeting, could deliver one of the greatest speeches of all time, Ray Lewis's Hall of Fame speech.
Here's young Nicholas. He's in front of a podium, behind a podium and being broadcast
Nick
all
is so
over.
Nervous he's walking out of the room.
And he's... I've had some of that lately where I had to walk out of the room when I hurt myself. All right, so...
I will tweet this video out in just a moment's time.
All right, so here's Nicholas in front of a city council meeting. Let's go, young Nicholas.
Please refrain from clapping, booing, or any other indication when the speaker is speaking or when the speaker finishes. If you're the one person in the audience who has an opposing opinion... we certainly want you to feel comfortable expressing that opinion.
Nick, how many people were there? Because he mentions one person.
There were a few people there, like maybe 10 people.
Okay, so 10 people there to speak. Now, you're not including the six people behind the big desk, right?
No, I'm not including those.
No, the city council's there.
Okay.
But
what is that? I don't know why you hit that.
And I think that is it. So the first speaker, Raymond Lewis. And please state your name, your address, and the issue you're speaking on. Thank you.
My name is Raymond Lewis of 54 Leverett Street. We're in the building, baby. Oh, listen to me carefully. When God tells you something, believe in him. 5-15-75... Sorry. 5-15-75. Remember 5 and remember 7, because it's going to have a recurring attitude in my message.
Are you speaking to something on the agenda tonight, Mr. Lewis?
Yes.
What is it?
It is agenda 1.
Okay. You give my best to the folks at 98.5.
There it is.
Damn it.
Now we got to find a new city council. Now we got to find a new city council.
Oh,
you have to go to like...
You're too famous, Nick.
You're going to have to fly down to D.C.
But does he stop?
No, you can't stop.
You can't stop. Won't stop.
No.
All right, here we go.
By the way, Nick makes it, what, maybe 20 words in until he starts cracking up being nervous?
Yeah. He just gets nervous cracking up. Maybe Bird should go.
Oh, my God.
That would be kind of funny. Yo, I want to talk about... And just have him really talk about something.
Can't be Everett. Can't be Malden.
No, can't be any of the surrounding towns.
No, because everyone would go...
We should just have him read, like, Green Eggs and Ham.
No.
Sherbourne.
We would... No, have him make a cohesive argument for something that's on the agenda.
Why no dame should be on TV.
That's right.
Because
I want to talk about women. They stink.
Sorry. Susie Colbert.
Susie Colbert gets my nerves.
You give my best to the folks at 98.5.
Okay, sure. I'll pass that along. I have no idea what you're talking about, though.
Okay.
You hear me? Yeah. Remember what I told you when I was little? We ain't going to make it. Ain't no way we're going to make it. Well, guess what, Mama? We made it. Crazy, right? I'll tell you about numbers. 5-15-75, right? I played 17 years. I go to the University of Miami, right?
Ray Lewis. Now I get it. Thank you very much, Mr. Lewis. But the council actually has important business to deal with, so please, if you could tell your radio station that not to waste our time. Okay. Thank you. Is there anyone else in the audience who would like to speak on an issue on tonight's agenda?
Oh, well, Nick is too pot. It's Mark Jamelli's fault.
All right, Nick, you hit it out of the park.
A for effort.
I mean, there's nothing you can do when you're worldwide famous.
Right.
5-15-75. $54 leverage shirt. So the first speaker, Raymond Lewis.
All right. So here's what I think we should do. I have that script. I could tweet it out. What if we had the Ray Lewis Town Hall Challenge? The first person to get through the speech as I tweet it out. I'll take the most nonsensical parts.
The problem is, though, with that is that people got to figure out when they're on TV.
You have to do it. You can search almost. There's, I would say, 50% of the town hall meetings all put the videos online of their meetings. It's like a service to the community. It's like you can watch and see all.
Yeah, there's a lot of like. There's a lot of. This is not calling and saying Sarge sucks. No. This is a tremendous amount of legwork. No,
all you have to do is Google and find out whether or not they put a video on.
I don't want to discourage anyone from doing this. I'm just saying if we get a recording that wasn't on television, we can't use it. So it's don't go out and waste your time unless it's on television.
Our listeners are maniacs, and I've learned that over the past several months, not only with the Sarge calls, but with College Game Day showing up and the sea of Wallach heads that were there. I think we have the Ray Lewis Town Hall Challenge.
I see. I don't disagree with that, but I do think that you send Bird out and have him make a nice comprehensive argument for something that's actually on the ballot or on the docket that day.
Somebody said, have Bird complain about the price of candy bars.
Could have that. You could have that.
In the vending machines. That's right. The price of candy bars in the vending machines in the city are too high. He needs to read something.
No. The whole fun part of it is hearing him mumble and get distracted during it.
5-15-75. I go to the University of Miami. Right? Ray Lewis. Now I get it. Thank you very much, Mr. Lewis.
The only thing that I would say that Bird should be written for Bird is like, say, hey, I'm Bird, and I scored a touchdown forever.
Why are you an expert? Oh, there's people saying, I'm doing it. Yeah, there's all right.
All right.
I'm going to go to my next town hall meeting.
All right. Well, you got to make sure it's on TV.
You got to be able to get a video. There's got to be a video on their website. And tons of cities have this. Tons have it.
Yeah. It's going to waste your time if it's not up on the website.
I posted the video, by the way, on our Twitter account, and Nick's face is just, I mean, there's no place he'd rather not be than at city council.
Well, the edict is out there, and probably in January or something, we should have Bird go out, brave the snow, and Nick is just too famous.
You give my best to the folks at 98.5.
Okay.
All right.
You do Space Savers? How about he tries to save the roast beef place across from the new Everett Monolith?
Yeah, he's concerned about the roast beef place across
the street. They're going to take down Mike's Roast Beef across the street.
Mike's Roast Beef at the airport.
Mike's Roast Beef's all right. Everybody's okay.
It's at the airport.
Yeah,
they're big eating. Time.
I go to the University of Miami, right? Ray Lewis.
Let's do something crazy.
Wake up with Toucher and Rich.
Oh, boy, that's dumb.
Just tell your smart speaker to play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
So, the first speaker, Raymond Lewis.
5-15-75. Blew it. 98.5 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich, and that is an unacceptable bed for this radio show.
Yeah, I don't think anyone knows if you just press delete on that clip right there.
No Rain by whoever the hell recorded it is a terrible, terrible, terrible assault to the senses. Will Brinson, the senior NFL writer for CBSSports.com. He joins us every Tuesday during the NFL season. You can catch Will on the Pick 6 podcast. Available at cbsports.com and iTunes. Hello, Mr. Brinson.
What's going on? Hey, don't insult Blind Melon. By the way, Shannon Hoon, you wouldn't expect the guy who wrote No Rain to have a heroin problem
You would have to have some sort of chemical situation going to think that was a good song and a good video.
That was the only thing that was played on television for a solid 9 months back in the mid-90s. So
that is true.
Good timing by you guys to play that after Mac Brown got hired at North Carolina.
There you go. All right. Will Brinson, is Baker Mayfield a douche?
Well, I mean, maybe. I mean, some people say I'm a douche, so sure. I don't think so. I think that any sort of can you say the prick word? Can you say that on the radio? Any sort of prickish behavior or petty behavior. And by the way, this is like what happens in the NBA 24/7. So I think it's kind of fun to have happen in the NFL. I think any sort of prickish behavior by Baker is more than justified because Hugh Jackson is one of the biggest clown frauds in the history of professional football. And, you know, you could see it when Hugh comes running over after the game. He's like, Baker, oh, my best boy. Like, what's up, my homie? You know, it's like, and Baker's like, hello, Hugh. How are you? And I don't blame him. I mean, like, Hugh Jackson came in and clearly had other, I mean, like, Hugh Jackson obviously has other agendas outside of winning football games. Like he would rather be ensured that he doesn't seem to understand that by winning football games, you can secure a place of power rather than just by schmoozing and stabbing everybody. Like he wants to play Game of Thrones when he could just play football. And I think Baker just was there for the football and didn't like Hugh. And, you know, it wasn't just him, right? Demaryius Randle handed that football to Hugh after he intercepted it. Clearly the whole team was motivated. They talked about it beforehand, and I'm hashtag Team Baker here.
All right, Hugh Jackson, what do you mean? I didn't realize he had a reputation as an opportunist or someone who tried to please everyone.
Are you kidding? Are you joking?
No, I'm not kidding. I don't. What do I know about Hugh Jackson?
Oh, look at what he did after he got fired. He immediately goes on. And I'm not blaming the people who invited him, but you know, blaming Hugh for this. He goes on Adam Schefter's podcast and explains what happened in Cleveland. He goes on First Take and explains what happened on Cleveland. He goes on, like, yeah, I mean, I feel like he went on every single ESPN show on the planet, and he's on there, and you know, he's not taking blame for anything. He's just, you know, trying to deflect it and, you know, and basically in passive-aggressive ways, put it on Todd Haley or put it on, you know, ownership or put it on somebody else. Like, the guy just won't take blame for anything. It's like, bro, you're 3-36-1. You're terrible at your job. Your team stinks. It's your fault. And you go back and look at Hard Knocks. Like, you can tell. I mean, I know he had some bad stuff happen in terms of, you know, family members dying, but he was clearly hamming it up for the cameras. Like he craves attention. You know, like a
Kardashian.
Like a radio guy.
Kardashian. Like a preening sports radio host.
Yeah. That's right.
So are you hearing, yesterday, I don't know even where I heard this rumor, that Marvin Lewis, if he ends up being fired this year, which how many times have we heard that phrase before? But right. If for some reason he gets dismissed, that Hugh Jackson is next in line for the Bengals.
Yeah, that's sort of part of the buzz. Remember, Mike Brown wanted, I mean, the original, that was the plan before Hugh left for Cleveland in the first place, was that Marvin was going to sort of transition to some other role and Hugh was going to take over as head coach. And, you know, he's well thought of in the Bengals organization. I mean, this is a – talk about a double win for the Browns. If they get rid of Hugh Jackson, he goes back to Cleveland. It's a triple win, really, because they get to play Q twice in the season. They're going to paddle him again in week 17 or whatever they play. And then at the same time, you see, you know, Hugh end up taking over there in Cincinnati. Now, I'm with you. I'll believe that Marvin Lewis is gone when I see those cockroaches die after the nuclear winter sets in. I mean, like, that's – like, the idea of Marvin Lewis ever losing his job – I mean, I feel like he might outlast Belichick just by sheer force of will. So I mean, I'm not totally sold on it happening, only because I don't think Marvin will go anywhere. But, yeah, there is a lot of buzz about the idea of – Marvin moving into some other role in the organization. I mean, as much as we joke about Marvin Lewis, he did revive the Bengals. They were they were the Browns of the 90s. I mean, you guys know, and he turned them around. He's well thought of by Mike Brown, and so is Hugh Jackson. And it wouldn't be surprising if they gave Hugh another shot, although I'm not so sure you won't have the same results given just sort of where the Bengals' personnel situation is right now.
It seems that quarterbacks are always interesting at this time of year, and I I marvel at how Cincinnati is stuck with Andy Dalton this long. But now that he's hurting out for the season, and I guess the contract, they can get out from under the contract, all the guaranteed money's gone. Is that the end of Dalton in Cincinnati? And is Jacksonville finally ready to give up on Blake Bortles for good?
Well, it's funny, because Jacksonville can't give up on Blake Bortles. They made the stupid, very stupid decision to give him that money this past offseason. And as a result, I mean, he's got a massive dead cap number, like $16.5 million next year if they cut him. And this is, they just can't cut him. He's just going to be on the team, and whether it's going to be as an expensive backup or not. I mean, I know for a fact that I wrote a story about listing the top teams that should trade for Teddy Bridgewater, and I know that for a fact that the Jaguars laughed at it. Because I had them at number two, and it's like who's laughing now, Jacksonville? They're stuck with Bortles. I think they could certainly go in a different direction. I think they will certainly have to pursue other opportunities in the draft or via free agency or via trade. Who knows? I don't think anyone can know for sure what that Jacksonville front office and coaching staff is going to look like. It's entirely possible that Tom Coughlin decides to retire. That Dave Caldwell has finally shown the door. That Doug Marrone has shown the door because of what happened. I mean, when you start firing the offensive coordinator and then benching the quarterback in the same day in week 12, that's a sign that somebody in high up in charge is walking around looking for who to blame, and you start scapegoating the quarterback and the offensive coordinator. That's how you know big changes are coming. So yeah, I mean, we could see a total reboot there. In Cincinnati, I tend to think that Andy Dalton is like a redheaded Marvin Lewis. He's not going to die either. And and as much as I think they could move on from him, I think that the stability of Dalton and the year-to-year possibility of getting out from his deal will keep him around, and they might try to invest in somebody else moving forward, though.
All right. So, Will, despite the three strange losses that the Patriots have had this season, they're still right now sitting at the 2 seed. And they have a bye week, it looks like, if things continue the way that they're going. However, you've got a bunch of teams creeping up behind them. I know yesterday Houston just won, was it their 7th or 8th game in a row? 8th game in a row after losing the first three. Yeah. So they've kind of figured things out. You know, you've got all these other kind of teams creeping up. And when you look at the Steelers lose in Denver, which was strange. When you look at how the AFC is shaking up, how do you see the Patriots in their place right now compared to the other teams? Which ones are fraudulent and which ones do you think are a real threat?
I think the Patriots are part of the group at the top of the NFL with the Chiefs, Rams, Saints, and then New England. I mean, I think those are the four best teams, and those are the four top seeds. Now, I would put New England behind those teams, but New England has also beat the Chiefs. And, if you gave Bill Belichick 2 weeks to prepare for Drew Brees or 2 weeks to prepare for Jared Goff and Sean McVay, I think he'd certainly give him a good run because that's just how he rolls. And same for Tom Brady. So I put them in that group. They got handed a huge favor by the Broncos who beat the Steelers, because if you look at that, the place you don't want to be is that number 4 seed, because you're going to have to deal with the Chargers probably coming in as a wild card team and playing them. And I don't think anybody wants a first weekend matchup against the Phil Rivers and the Chargers. That's a tough spot to be in. So I would say that I think Houston has to be counted as a team that is for real, despite the first 5 of their 8 wins looking like complete fraudulent victories and being entirely lucky. They've really hammered some teams lately, took care of business on Monday night against the Titans. If they beat the Colts in 2 weeks, they will effectively seal up the division, and they can end up winning 10 or 11 games. I mean, I think the Steelers, of course, are playing the Patriots. Steelers are also playing the Chargers. So there's a lot of head-to-head battles coming up in the coming weeks. I think New England's in a really good spot to get that number 2 seed because of the schedule. And I think if you look at their history, that's really important for them to get that bye. I don't know that they're going to catch the Chiefs. Chiefs do have some tough matchups. They got to play the Chargers again and the Seahawks in Seattle. I mean, they don't have a ton of freebies. I would expect that Kansas City gets the 1 seed, and I think New England will be the 2. But I think the entire AFC side of the bracket is going to be tough. I mean, Houston poses a problem because they got J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney. They can stuff the run and really get after the passer. We saw that last night. Deshaun Watson makes magic happen. Phillip Rivers is dangerous if they get Melvin Gordon back. Steelers, of course, have tons of offensive weapons. And then, you might not buy. I think that either the Ravens or the Colts are obviously the easiest matchup on that side of the thing. But I mean, if Lamar Jackson gets it cooking, it's not easy to stop. And Andrew Luck is playing out of his mind right now. I think he's a top five MVP candidate too.
All right, so you like those two teams as, because I mean the AFC is sealed up except for the sixth seed, basically. So
yeah,
those are the two teams to watch for the sixth seed, in your opinion.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, maybe the Broncos, if they can really make a push here. But
their schedule's easy, though. Like, look at the rest of their season. I mean, it's winnable. They could win out.
Let me tell you something, too, about the Chargers. I know we're all bought in on the Chargers being a good, solid team this year. I don't know if you saw the play on the Melvin Gordon injury. This is as stupid gets. Melvin Gordon, their star running back, is dealing with a hamstring and a knee injury, and they decide to play him. They play him for the whole first half. He scores two touchdowns. He looks awesome. They bring him back out in a 28-10 game against the Cardinals, who averaged 14 points a game. So this game is over. And on a play with 11 minutes left in the third quarter, they line up Melvin Gordon out at wide receiver. They have Austin Eckler run a pitch to the right. He pitches it on a reverse end around to Gordon. Robert Kendici comes flying through unblocked, dives into Gordon's knee and busts up his MCL, and now he's going to miss a few weeks. I mean, it's the most Chargers thing in the world. And I know they're like 90% to make the playoffs at 8-3, but as someone who has followed this team for a pretty long time, pretty closely, I would put that in more as like 50% just because of the matchups they have remaining.
All right. Interesting. Will Brinson, you can see him over there, read him at CBSSports.com, and you can listen to the Pick 6 podcast there at CBSSports.com and iTunes. Thank you so much for the time, sir.
Always a pleasure. Check out today's episode, which features Brady Quinn telling a cool story about a Terrell Suggs incident from 2009.
All right. There you go. There's the teaser. Tom Brady was on with the great, great Jim Gray, who was going to get through the – what did he say? He's going to get through the
– namby-pamby questions?
Yeah, he's going to get through those.
Going to get through the namby-pamby questions, are we?
And so we will have that for you. Here are the headlines.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, yesterday, Tom Brady did his weekly phone call with the great Jim Gray. Jim Gray, who was hanging around during that documentary that Brady did. He was just hanging out.
Why was he there? That was really strange.
Maybe he was producing. Maybe they're just bros. Maybe he's part of the entourage.
Because if I, okay.
He's so, entourage.
You got,
he's entourage.
You got Guerrero and Jim Gray. I mean, that's
world's coolest posse.
I mean, look out, ladies.
Brady just invited him along. Jim, going to see Oprah today. You interested?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. I'd love to see the Oprah compound.
Yeah. It's just him and the boys.
Here's a set of headphones, Jim. Why don't you sit over there on the porch, you know?
He was sitting there watching the interview that Tom Brady was doing for Oprah, right?
Yep. Yes.
Okay.
Is there a Brady documentary we're not aware of? Why was Jim Gray there? He's part of the entourage.
Yeah, that was for Super Soul Sunday, remember?
Yeah.
Super Soul Sunday.
I wonder if, you know, maybe he's his, you know, like, he's his... way to reach out to the young people. He's like, Jim Gray, how am I doing? Can you feed me some what's down with the hip hop?
The TV Times was Jim Gray's idea.
Yes, indeed. Mm.
So Tom Brady ended up doing his really weird interview that is, I don't know if it's pre-recorded or whether he sent the questions ahead of time and they try to make it sound live, or it's live and just it all sounds awkward. But here's Jim Gray asking about his injured finger and whether he can have his injury heal while he plays.
When you say nicked up, is this something that only not playing football will heal? So every week this is suspect and prone because it just won't get the required rest? Or is this something that can heal during the season?
It can definitely heal. But I would say, you know, my take on injuries is, you know, you're really susceptible every time you go out. I mean, if you can go out, you could be a little nicked up, and if you get hit again, it could make it worse. But the reality is you could wait for it to get fully healthy and then go out and take a hit and get hurt again. Really, you know, if I can play, you know, that's what I'm going to always prefer to do, and that's what I've always done, realizing that there are risks that come with playing when you're not fully healthy or things aren't fully healed, but, you know, that's just part of the nature of the game. And I think in many ways it would hurt me more to not be playing and watching than it would be to dealing with whatever I'm dealing with. So, you know, I love making the choice to play, and I'm glad we got a win against really a division rival, and playing in New York and winning there is always important for our team. So it's just a great team win.
All right. Yeah, it's a very difficult to go into New York and play that with Josh McCown, who's...
Division game.
Yeah, it's a division
Division game. Always difficult.
Listen, Fred, all the numbers say that it's a tough place to play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Yep. Especially with McCown at quarterback.
True. Go on the road. It's very hard. Very tough. Very tough atmosphere at MetLife.
Against a team with one good player, literally on the field. One good player, maybe one and a half if you choose Anua as well. And if you if you haven't watched a lot of football and you just read, you could go Leonard Williams as well as half a good player.
Yep.
So Jamal Adams, a safety. And that's where you want to have all your eggs lying, is in a safety, as they pick safeties one and two, first and second round in a draft 2 years ago.
Emphasis is on passing, Fred. You need a good secondary.
Listen, they have two good safeties.
There you go.
Look out, Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Fred, I have a this just in.
Okay.
I think I might have a present for you. You ready?
Yeah.
Quickly, Brian in Fitchburg with a defensive point as well. What's up, Brian?
Fitchburg.
Hey, guys, before I get to Van Noy, I'm not sure if you saw the CFL Grey Cup, but I think the Red Blacks lost it on a fumble by that fat, no-talent Michelle Riley from Sarge, Ontario.
Ah, nice. Nice.
That's nice. Mike Riley call.
Nice. That's a good one.
It's a good one.
That was
Keep
slick.
Keep it coming today.
That was slick. Brian in Fitchburg, add him to the list. 617-77.
Sarge.
Michelle Riley,
add him to the list.
There's a list? It's fairly clever.
Wow.
Not too bad. Nick, many people have said you do not throw a Sarge Sucks into your appearance at City Council today.
By the way, I talked to James Stewart yesterday, and we were talking about Sarge. And, you know, he believes that he's 50-50 on all this stuff. And I said, you know who loves Sarge is Joe Murray. And he said, yeah. And I said, Joe Murray always saying how many girls that Sarge gets. And James Stewart actually agreed. He said that I can justify or I can corroborate that Sarge is very good with the ladies.
So he is the, like, if they're the Rat Pack, like the Kowloon crew, who is he? Who is the guy who got all the ladies? It wasn't Dino, was it?
Lanford? Was it Lanford who got all the ladies?
Lawford got the ladies.
No, because he was with the Kennedy. I think that's why Lawford was there.
Joey Bishop was the funny man.
Yeah.
Sinatra was the crooner. Dino was the drunk.
Mm-hmm.
So who was the ladies' man?
Sammy?
No. Oh, and Sammy was the Satanist.
Yeah, right. Which he really was. And he has you can see it on YouTube, he has a pilot for a show that he wanted to do in the early 80s, late 70s, revolving around his Satanism.
By the way, I didn't believe that when you told me that. I'm like, oh, Sammy Davis Jr. was down with the devil. And Fred, that was one of the more fascinating like wormholes on the internet that I ever went down.
Sammy Davis was a, by his own admission, a Satanist. And does anyone care to guess... Rich, you might already know, so you don't count.
Okay.
Would anyone care to guess why Sammy Davis Jr. became a Satanist? Which, by the way, at that time in L.A., was something of a trend. Why would he want to become a Satanist?
I don't know.
I actually don't even know this. I don't.
Oh. Orgies.
Okay. Well, yeah. Okay, I did know that. I actually did know that. I didn't mention that.
The guy who was in charge of Satanic Church at the time, it was basically just a big orgy, like all the time.
Could you have an orgy without the Satan stuff?
I mean, it's just you walk in and there's an orgy. I mean, I think that that's probably a lot simpler.
Sure.
Sells itself.
Your admission is to deny God.
Yeah.
No, you're just worshiping a different God, and who knows who's right and who's wrong. It's all a big unknown.
It's all a big orgy.
Yeah.
In the end.
I mean, if you go into two churches and one's got an orgy going on and the other one's like boring, then you're going to go to the orgy one every time.
Save that.
I mean, the Satanic Church can't lose. Like, you know, you're up in the air there. You don't know where to go.
True. Which line's longer?
Right. Yeah. You don't know where to go. And you say, hey, you know, I'm a bit agnostic. I don't really have a card in the game. And then you go into the church and there's a big orgy.
Yeah, I'll be on that longer line to get in. Yeah. The one that goes down the steps and around the corner.
I can't. I cannot participate in an orgy. I'm way too self-conscious about my body.
You open up the door and...
Yeah.
Welcome.
Ronnie James Dio saying, hello, Sammy.
Oh, I thought you were the woman from
Cheers.
Cheers.
Rhea Perlman? What are you doing here? No, I am the evil.
Hey, watch it. I'm a dude.
Where's my drinks? Hey, stop using my head as a cocktail holder.
Yeah. Just someone had a weird taste in decor, but it turns out you're a human being.
I turned to the devil because I cursed the Lord above, for he gave me the inability to ride all the rides at Six Flags.
I'll tell you this, is that when people were so freaked out about Satanism, and they would show, like, the satanic guys, like, the metal dudes, they were, like, such nerds.
And like King Diamond?
Yeah, oh, King Diamond is just the worst. King Diamond, if you don't know, is this suit. He still tours. He's like this. He wears like a Kiss mask and has like upside down crosses. But they were such nerds. And then you think, oh, in Hollywood, there were all these. It was like the in thing. You know, you come a Scientologist, not a Scientologist, you come a Satanist. You get a big orgy going on. So I would say Sarge is the Dino.
Yeah, okay. So Sarge is the Dino of the Calhoun crew?
Yeah, and I would say that Jimmy's the Sinatra.
I was just going to say that, but that makes Jimmy the Sinatra. So Joe Murray is who?
I mean, are we condensing the Calhoun crew to four or five?
Well, I mean, those are five guys. They're all, you know,
well, there's
five
no
guys.
Joey Bishop. No one's
fun. Carabas is in this too, right? So, I mean...
As they walk out,
yeah. What's going on?
Head to the sands, you know.
Hey, I know I'd go from right. I'm a crew. I'm a croaker. Whoop, crooner.
Croaker.
Croaker.
Yeah, I kill frogs. Take that frog. You'll hop no more. Remove one leg and see it get around. Experiments.
It's fairly macabre there.
Well, that's the deal.
So
remove limbs and see what's doing.
So he said, besides Sammy Davis Jr. participating in orgies, you know who else likes orgies? It's just a picture of Dwight Howard smiling. That story was really weird yesterday. Mm-hmm.
Listen, you know, everyone has their own proclivities. Everyone is... free to express themselves in any way they would like. All right, we will be back in just a matter of moments.
Stay tuned for Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. And it's Giving Tuesday. And 98.5 The Sports Hub is supporting Project Bread. One in seven children in Massachusetts don't have enough to eat. Every $50 donated provides up to 100 healthy meals for children in need. Help make a difference for kids across the state of Massachusetts. Every dollar counts. Go to projectbread.org/GivingTuesday. Now, an Amtrak train headed towards Boston was stuck, basically, for 6 hours, a little over 6 hours.
It had just left Penn Station. So this was supposed to be a three-hour ride?
Yeah,
right?
And then,
did it get out of the tunnel?
Yeah.
Or were they stuck in the stupid tunnel?
No, they were outside the tunnel. So you did see daylight, and these people who were trapped on it. So the train is sitting on the tracks, and then the power gets cut. And what that means is that not only... were the lights off, but I mean, it was daytime, so it wasn't like it was darkness, but no power meant unflushable toilets. So
they're electric toilets.
Electric toilets. Now, I thought that all toilets were cool with the old plumbing system.
Now, if it's electric, it should be like one of those Japanese toilets where you like walk in and it goes hello and then opens up its mouth. And then, have you never seen one of those?
No.
Oh, I stayed at a place in Napa Valley, and I took a picture of it and put on what other social media was on. And there was like a $6 million man board next to it. Like it was the chest of Darth Vader. And you could just press all these buttons, and there was, I made a mistake and went with the bidet very fast.
Surprising.
And at a very particular spot where I did not care for it at that moment.
Sure.
But, if it's electric, it should warm the seat and ask you how you're doing.
No, this one just didn't work. It did not flush. So, and on top of that, that means no air conditioning, although yesterday I'm sure it was very cold. It was stuffy. The toilets were unflushable, and apparently it started to smell really bad. But even worse, apparently at one point, because the toilets weren't working, a passenger said that, quote, the stewardesses ended up making a porta potty out of a cardboard box for some people.
Yeah, I got news for you. Don't take a dump.
That's what the guy said. The quote is stewardesses, which is, I don't think it's what you call them on the train.
No, real people. Engineers.
Right.
What, you can't control yourself and not take a dump for 6 hours?
6 hours is a long time, man.
6 hours without taking a dump is easy, what? And you can pee in the dumb toilet.
Now, listen, I would go into a toilet that wouldn't flush. Well, I'd go into the bathroom.
The toilet started to overflow, apparently, so the idea was not lost on other people. They decided to go one on top of the other, which is something that's a moral dilemma if you're in there.
I'll be honest. The people who work at the train, that's good thinking. Because, I mean, if you got to go to the bathroom, I'm like, all right, if you really got to go, I do not want to have to clean this up later. Go in the box.
Yeah, if you're a lunatic that can't control yourself for 6 hours.
You've never had to go to the bathroom so bad that you couldn't hold it.
Rhea.
Maybe it was Rhea.
Oh, that's even more pleasant.
Well, I mean, that would be awful.
Well, it should be a case of emergency break glass situation. I mean, and even, like, I would imagine Rhea can go away. Like, your body swallows it back up.
My body knows when I'm almost home. Like, it knows. Like, I can hold in almost anywhere. But, like, it senses when I'm within, like, 100 feet of my bathroom.
Well, that's like when you go, like when you have to throw up and you run into the bathroom, and the minute you see the toilet, you just throw up.
Boom.
Outside
right.
of it.
Right. But there's some sort of sensor in my body that knows when I'm pulling up to my house.
Yeah. All right. So there's no excuse, by the way, for not being able to hold on the dump for 6 hours. But I have been stuck on a train. We were going from New York to Boston, and there was a big snowstorm, so they canceled a bunch of trains and just rammed everyone on this one, and they ran out of everything. Toilets work, but they ran out of water. They ran out of everything going on.
Now, as bad as this is, it's not as bad as being stuck on the tarmac for hours on a plane. That's the worst, because there's no room. Like in a train, you can get up and you can walk around. You can do all that. When you are stuck on a plane, and usually when you're stuck there, they have to turn all the AC off. You know how it is.
Yeah.
And I've been stuck on one for 3 hours one time, and that was, I remember there was a woman in front of me who had a T-shirt that said, "All stressed out and no one to choke."
Yeah, it's,
and I'm like, that's the kind of person I want to be stuck
she
with.
She should have done some stand-up.
No, but if you've ever been trapped somewhere, I'm not talking like 3 hours. I mean, that's a lot of people have had that. But like for a gratuitous amount of time.
My dad's a guy he did business with. They introduced years ago a direct flight from Detroit to Japan. They flies back from Japan. This is a famous story. You can Google it. And then they're at the airport in Detroit and Metro Airport. And 27 hours after a flight from Japan, they were stuck. It was national news.
Oh, I think I might actually have a fit. Like I would start to freak out and have a fit.
Like, why wouldn't they let you off the plane? Like, in any way, shape, or form? I mean, if it's bad enough that you're stuck on it for 27 hours, obviously there's not a huge amount of traffic.
Yeah.
And they can't tell planes to circle for 30 minutes. I mean, let people out of. I mean, why can't you let them out of the plane? Have a police escort. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, now there's laws.
Yeah, but
that.
I don't know how enforceable those are.
I think there are some things like it's called flyers' rights. And you're right. I mean, how do you enforce it?
Right.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMass and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling.com. Helplinema.org.